Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That is a great Bible verse. It is the first time you find the word liberty in the Bible, and it is the Lord that is proclaiming liberty. That is His will. That is His desire. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land. That is also found on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, just outside of Boone, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today, and we want to let you know that you're invited to come and visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. If you are in the listening area, we'd love for you to come by and be with us in any or all of our services. Mainly, we want to let you know about Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We have our Sunday morning Sunday school. We have classes for all ages. We have a college group that comes in, college classes, from the youngest ones to the oldest ones. And then at 11 a.m., we have our Sunday morning worship service. We have our church website. You can look on that. We have radio broadcasts from the past. We have sermons on there, church information, MountLebanonBC.org. So it is good to be here today. I want to say hello to Noah. He's with us and always does a good job engineering and working on the radio broadcast. Are you having a good day, Noah?
I am.
Good.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. That's 96.5 as well. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and our listeners on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all our listeners, and there's been a big holiday since last week when we met together. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a birthday, and I found a new life philosophy I wanted to share with everybody before we got into the substance today, and you might enjoy this, you might agree with it, but I found a little saying, and it said the older I get, the fewer things seem worth waiting in line for. I thought about that.
That's right.
We just got back from a little vacation. We went to Disney World, and I told my wife it wasn't really too bad, but there was a lot of those, you have to walk a half a mile through the line to get to a little minute and a half ride. I told my wife, I said, there ain't no way I'd stand in line through all this to ride on some of that stuff. And so I thought that was pretty good. Well, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and Proverbs chapter number 17. And in this day and time in which we live, we need a few things to be merry about and laugh about. There's a lot of depressing things, and I guess that's always been the case in the world, but like we've said, it is good to be back here one more time. We are studying the subject of civics, and this is part number 11, and civics means this: the rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And we've been studying 11 weeks now. I have really enjoyed it. I'm learning a whole lot, and a lot of a refreshment of things that I have known. But sometimes if you don't think about it, well, you sort of forget about it. And so it's good to be reminded of some of these things. We have specifically the last several weeks been looking at some lessons that we gather from the Declaration of Independence, and it's talking about rights, our rights over there. In fact, it's a great little document to study on the subject of rights and where they come from and who gave them. And we have gone over this several times. I'm just quickly going to mention one more time, because that's how you learn, by repetition. You don't go over the multiplication table one time. You go over it many, many times, and then you learn it and it becomes second nature. And the Declaration of Independence, what have we learned? Where our rights come from? Our rights come from God. In fact, the Declaration of Independence says that we are endowed, that men are endowed by their Creator. And so that's capital C. That's talking about the God of the Bible. rights, our rights come from God. We've said this many times. If they come from the government can take them away. If they come from a church or a denomination, the church or the denomination can take them away. If the king grants rights, then the king can take them away. But our rights come directly from God. They are unalienable, which means that they are, you couldn't give them away if you wanted to. And so these rights are equal among all men. All men are created equal. We find that in the Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration of Independence was ahead of its time. It took many years to catch up with what the Declaration, with what men become to know and to practice in their lives, the abolition of slavery and things like that. But they had the biblical foundation. We also learned that these rights are self-evident. All you got to do is look out in nature, and you'll learn a whole lot of things about life. And then God is good enough and wise enough that He wrote it down. He wrote down, and it talks about in the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and of nature's God. We learned about the purpose of government, and this is what we looked at mainly last week. The purpose of government is to secure these rights. And so government basically has a twofold purpose: to protect the innocent and to punish the evil. And so that's the main primary purpose of government: to protect individual rights and to punish those that break that are evil. And so we talked about that. Then we talked about the rights specifically mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. We talked about that it says over there, the right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I was looking at a candidate's stance on abortion, and that's something I feel very passionate about. And they said this. They said that concerning abortion, that they believed in the woman's right to choose and that it was a very personal choice. You know, that sounds all politically correct, and that might sound good to some, but here is the great problem with that. When it comes to abortion, there are two lives involved, and one of those lives does not get a choice. And so if you're going to be pro-choice, you ought to be for you got to consider the lesser one as well. You know, I was talking with Noah about this yesterday. He's 23 years old. If I murdered him, if I killed him, I would be charged with murder. But if my wife had an abortion 23 and some months ago, then in the eyes of the law, that would have been perfectly fine. But murder is murder. And the responsibility of government is to protect these rights. Life, number one, is mentioned. All life. Life especially that cannot protect itself is the most precious among us. The weak, the elderly, the infirm, infants, babies, handicapped. I mean, you go right on down the line. Life. Well, our government has abandoned that in the, you know, the abortion industry. The right to life, the right to liberty, we talked about that. Pursuit of happiness. All these things have to do with individual rights, talking about individual rights. And usually when you think about the Declaration of Independence, that's what you think about. Or when you think about the Bill of Rights, you think about individual rights, freedom to speech, freedom of religion, freedom to gather peaceably. You know, you think about individual rights. But what I want to look at today is something that we might not think about, but this is also mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. And another right that we want to look at is what we're going to call the people's rights, or as it says in the Declaration of Independence, the right of the people. Now, let me read about a paragraph out of the Declaration of Independence, and I'm going to start with the second paragraph where it says we hold these truths. Now, listen to what it says, and we've gone over this, so I'll try not to comment very much, but it said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And so we've covered all those things, what that's talking about. But then it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I saw the first debate, and I saw bits and pieces of the second debate. And I mentioned on the radio broadcast that the background behind the debaters, and I was able to look at it more this week. The first week I noticed it was either the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. The background behind those debating is the Declaration of Independence. And I said the time would have been spent better off if they'd have turned around and just read what was on the wall and done a good study out of the Declaration of Independence. But on the wall behind them, it has these words. The right, it's capital R, of the people, capital P, to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. And so what is it saying there in the Declaration of Independence? That it is our right when a government becomes destructive of these ends, when government is not doing what government is supposed to be doing, when they are abusing their power and their authority. It is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Well, it goes on down, and they make the case that that's exactly what they're going to do. And it says, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And so it's talking in the Declaration of Independence about the right of the people, and that it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government. Now, remember, we're studying the subject of civics, and civics is the rights and the duties of citizens and how the government works. And in America, we believe in many wonderful principles. As it talks about here in the Declaration of Independence, it talks about principles to protect our happiness and our security. And we have many good things that are going on and have gone on for two centuries now in our country. We believe in elections of our representative government. And so we get to choose from among ourselves those who we feel would best represent us. And we vote on them, and we send them to the county seat of government. We send them to the state seat of government. We send them to Washington, D.C. To represent us. This is a representative form of government. We elect people to go and represent us. That's a good thing. And that's how government works. We believe in a system of limited government, and I spent some time talking about how in America we have a constitutional republic, and that means that our elected representatives cannot go to Washington, D.C. and just do anything they want to do. The first thing that they all do, that they have to do when they're sworn into office, they have to take an oath, a pledge, to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Everybody under the Constitution. Nobody above the Constitution. Nobody, even our highest elected leaders in the land, above the laws of the land. Everybody equal in the sight of the law. This is how our government works. We're not supposed to have some above the law and some under the law. Some go to jail for something and others get off scot-free. When you have that going on, you have a broken system that's not working the way it was designed to work. We have a system of limited government, and our elected representatives cannot go and just do anything they want to do. They have to operate under the laws of the Constitution. We have a system of checks and balances where one branch of government checks and limits the other. And we went over that in great detail. We have laws to live by, and these laws apply to all. But what do we do if our government becomes so corrupt that it does not work properly anymore, that our elected representatives really do not elect us, that our elected representatives do not obey the law of the land. They do not obey the Constitution. They do not obey the Bill of Rights. They pass laws that apply to some and not others. They live themselves above the law of the land. If most people would have done what Hillary Clinton done in the email scandal, Benghazi, they'd have been in prison, no questions asked, and everybody would have agreed with that. I mean, we're living in times where it just applies to some and doesn't apply to others. Just depends on who you are, if you can get away with not paying your taxes. It just depends on who you are, and there's a lot of people out here in government that are famous that have not paid their taxes, yet there sets others in prison, and basically the same thing. What do we do? What do we do in our land when we come to a place that our government doesn't work, that it's broken? Here it is an election year, and we're told to vote every 2 years, every 4 years. We're hounded with the same old, same messages. If you want change, get out here and vote. You got to vote for this person. You got to vote for that person. But I really question in my mind if it's like there was a bumper sticker in the 60s, and it said if voting really mattered, they would have taken it away a long time ago. There was cynicism even in the 60s. Whether it made any difference to vote or not. Was it really fair? Is our vote really going to who we want, or is it rigged? And I'll tell you, I'm not for the electronic voting machines. I think there ought to be paper, and I think there ought to be a record. You go up and you punch a button, or you run that piece of paper down in there, and it's electronically. Well, we could go on and on. That's not what we're talking about. But does it really matter? If we vote, what choice is there? This is pitiful what's going on in our country today. And the only reason I didn't watch the whole debate the other night is because I only watched what I could stand. And, you know, you have to have some mental break. It's really pitiful. It's just the same old same, lesser of two evils. We're voting between Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And it's just one thing Donald Trump said in the first debate that I totally agree with. He said it's a mess. And it is a mess. What is going on in our country is a mess. We've got the so-called choice between the Republicans and the Democrats. Let me share something with you. I saw this online, and it said, as a little thing, it said, if you haven't figured it out, both parties will spy on you. Both parties will start illegal wars. Both parties are owned by the banks. Both parties will continue the drug war. Both parties are slaves to corporations. Both parties will continue the police state. And both parties are the problem, not the solution. Now, what we're talking about today, we're talking about the rights of the people. And the men that signed on to the Declaration of the Independence, that signed the Declaration of Independence, they said about the rights of the people, it is their duty, it is their right to overthrow a government that is not conducive to the ends of the people anymore. And then they laid out a long list of of what they called a long list of, well, they said usurpations, repeated injuries. The king was trying to establish an absolute tyranny over the colonies, and they submitted the facts. And there's 28 things that are listed in the Declaration of Independence, and many of these we could say is going on in America today. But they come on down to the end of the Declaration of Independence, and they said this: and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And so who were they looking for support for these actions? To declare a revolution, to declare a declaration of independence, they looked to God with a firm reliance on divine providence. They were looking to the Lord. Do you think the Lord would really be in that? Do you think the Lord would be in a people throwing off the chains of tyranny, throwing off the rags of bondage? Why, sure he would. The biggest pro-liberty, anti-tyrant being in the universe is the God of heaven. And he's the one that said it first, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And he's really the one that was behind the first big national revolution. And God went to a little old shepherd man named Moses, and he said, go down there into Egypt and tell the big tyrant to let my people go. And so they surely believed that God was behind what they were doing. And all throughout the Bible, you'll find that God himself is anti-tyranny. Now, I'm not advocating an overthrow of the government or a violent revolution, not yet anyway. I mean, it could come to that, and I think there are some that would that would advocate that, but I would not advocate that. I don't believe we're anywhere near the moral, physical, spiritual way that they were in the 1700s. I believe we're a long ways away from that in our country today. But I do believe this. I believe it's high time that we as Americans revolted over the two-party system. The two-party system needs to be quit. We need to quit perpetually supporting it. And here's the thing. Every election, well, if we don't vote for this one, you know, you hear this all the time, you just got to vote for the lesser of two evils, the lesser of two evils. Our founding fathers knew that a two-party system was bad news. They never advocated, we need a three-party, four-party, five-party system. It's far better. What we have now is basically same thing, right glove and left glove, and right-hand glove and left-hand gloves have to work together. And you have this Democrat-Republican system, and, you know, they're just trading places. Everything stays the same. We get further in debt. We lose more and more of our civil liberties. The world is promised every election year. Here, just think back what is going on. Obama gets in, all the Republicans, it's going to be the end of the world. Vote us in, vote the senators in, vote the congressmen in. We've got to stop this. And they haven't done anything. They haven't done anything that they said that they were going to do. They're all working together. They act like they're fighting and fussing out here in public, and I guarantee they're going out and eating supper together tonight and going to each other's kids' birthday parties and all the rest of that stuff. They're not doing what they promised the American people that they are going to do. The founders recognized the evil in a two-party system, or the folly in it, the failure in it. Teddy Roosevelt, let me give you a quote from Teddy Roosevelt, what he said about the two parties. He said, the old parties are husks. Now, for some that may not be familiar with farming and agriculture or language, the husk, talking about an old dry husk of corn. and just the outside, there's nothing to it. It'll choke you to death, but there's the good stuff is on the inside. The husk is just, it's just a shell. And that's what he was saying. There's no substance in it. The old parties are husks with no real soul within either, divided on artificial lines, boss-ridden and privilege-controlled, each a jumble of incongruous elements, and neither daring to speak out wisely and fearlessly on what should be said on the vital issues of the day. Teddy Roosevelt realized 100 years ago, right around it, that it was a failed system. These old parties. Now, the sad thing is, my generation will never, ever have the courage to depart from the two-party system. And it'll always be the same thing. It has for years and years. Oh, if we don't vote for this one, this other one will get in. And, oh, whatever you do, don't vote for a third party. And it's the same old thing. Our hope today is with the younger generation, that they would get so fed up that they would see the farce of it all, and they would finally bring about some change, some needed change in our country. I'm telling you what, that'll make you pray for our younger generation. 71% of millennials, and that would be early 20s and those upcoming, want an alternative to the third part, to the Democrat Republican controlled system. Maybe there's some hope in our young people. If they can get some truth, if they can see the folly of what is going on, 71% would like an alternative. Well, you can include me in that as well. And some people say, well, that just wouldn't make any difference, you know. They'll never get strong enough to win and all like that. But let me remind you of some recent history. In the 1990s, Ross Perot ran as a third-party candidate. He did not win. But the things that he talked about then are still being talked about today. The third party didn't win, but the third party definitely made a difference in the future. What the things he talked about a balanced budget. He talked about being physically responsible. He talked about the government side or the financial side of the government. And every election since then, that's one of the major things that they will talk about. The third party did not win, but the third party definitely made a difference. It was strong enough to make a difference. And, you know, sometimes you don't have to win in order to win. Let me tell you about something else that took place in history. In 1872, Victoria Woodhull became the first woman candidate for the President of the United States. And you thought it was Hillary. Wasn't Hillary. It was Victoria Woodhull. And she was nominated to run by the Equal Rights Party. And she ran on a platform of women's suffrage, civil rights, and child labor reform laws. She did not win. But the fact that women gained very shortly after that to the right to vote. And many things are different because of the work of a third party. Wasn't elected, but definitely made a difference. And so we could give some other examples of that, but we see our time is quickly coming gone today. We need to break from this Democrat-Republican, Democrat-Republican. It's killing our country. It's the right of the people. It's our duty to change things when they are not working as they should be. If we do not exercise that right, we're going to quickly lose that right. Well, I do appreciate you listening in today. I hope you have a great day. We desire your prayers. We're studying the subject of civics. And remember this, you can have all the liberty in the world, but if you don't have liberty and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ, you really don't have any at all. If the Son therefore shall make you free, he shall make you free indeed. John chapter 8. Have a great day, and God bless you.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.